Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev in Daf Chav Dalet. We left off in Daf Chav Gimel and Beis. We're about 10 lines from the end of the page. Karpev Shu Yosem Beis Sasayim. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Ron Markovitz for Refuah Shleima for Shmuel Yochanan ben Shimshon David. Ayeshev Refuah Shleima. Also by Moshe Zucker in memory of Chana Bas Mordechai Aleha Shalom. His mother's yard site is today in the Shana Shavan Aliyah. And also by friends of from Adas Yisurin or Yeshurin, I assume. Bezchus Refuah Shleima for Rus Chaya Maria Bas Shoshana Miriam, Allah Shalom, and anonymously also Bezchus Refuah Shleima for Rus Chaya Maria Bas Shoshana Miriam, Shishav Refuah Shleima. And we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding, as we mentioned, 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Chav Gimel and Beis. The Gemara is going to first bring a brisa about an area that's partially Hukaf Ladira and partially planted. Because today we're going to talk a lot about a carpet that's Yosem Mibes Asayim, that's not Hukaf Ladira, which is Aser to carry in, and not only that, it can ruin the entire Erev. If it's part of a larger city that has an Erev around it, it could ruin the entire Erev. So we're going to talk about what happens if you have such an area, but that it's partially planted and partially Ladira, and there are going to be three versions of a comment that Rav Huna Brei Rav Yishua makes about the Braisa that deals with this case. Then the Gemara is going to talk about when trees pose a problem and when they do not pose a problem as a karpev. When do we view trees as part of the dira, and when do we assume that trees are a problem as far as a karpev is concerned? And then we're going to talk about if you have an area that was not hukaf ladira, was hukaf, but not ladira. It was surrounded by a wall, but not for the sake of dira. And now you want to use that area ladira. What do you have to do to the mechitzos in order to sort of rebuild it, in order to show that now it's hukaf ladira, that now you're putting a fence around it for the sake of dira. And when doing that, can you do it in pieces? Do you have to do it all at one time, or can you take piece by piece of the wall to make whatever fix is necessary? Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the presence of water in a karpev. What if you have a lake, a pool, a puddle, something like that inside of a karpev? Does that ruin the area as far as hukaf ladira? And then the Gemara is going to have four suggestions about a particular case of a rechava. You have a large empty area, a rechava, and it's and how to fix it to make it l'shem dira, when the case is where one end of it opens up into a mavoi and the other side of it opens up into a shvil shel kramim, a pathway through a vineyard. And when we get to that case, which is going to be the last thing we discuss in today's daf, it's going to be important to have a picture handy, because the Gemara is going to have four suggestions of how to be misakin, and it's difficult to visualize if you don't have a picture in front of you. So whatever picture things you use, it's a good idea to have it handy for later on in today's daf. Okay, so let's begin 10 lines from the bottom of the page on Chav Gimel and Beis. Karpiv Shu Yosim Beis Asayim Shukaf Ladira. Let's say you have a karpiv that's larger than Beis Asayim. This is a brisa that's telling us this, that's Hukaf Ladira, that it was made for the sake of living inside of it, which is perfectly fine. So now you're allowed to carry in it. But then, Nizra Rubo, most of the karpiv got planted. So now it's not considered Hukaf Ladira, because whatever it is planted, people can't use that area for Dira. And since the majority of the karpiv is now planted, even though some of it is still not, the part that's not is batel to the rove, sareu kigina, and now becomes like a vegetable garden, which is not a place that's made for dira, and va'aser, you're not going to be allowed to be metaltel in it, because it's going to be aser. Tosfos Yeshanim quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel that that's only if the karpiv is bigger than Beis Asayim. A karpiv that's smaller than Beis Asayim never poses a problem, but if you have a karpiv that's larger than Beis Asayim, and even though you initially used it ladira, but now you've planted in the majority of it, so now it becomes aser. Not arubo, but if you didn't plant a vegetable garden in it, rather you planted trees in it, so trees do not make an area no longer ra'ui ladira. Trees are still considered something that's ra'ui ladira, because people use trees all the time to enjoy the shade. That's part of dira, is having trees. We often have trees in our backyards where we like to enjoy and we like to sit and enjoy the shade. So reu kechatzeru mutter, that becomes like a chatzer. Mutter, and it's therefore going to be Mutter. Nizra Rubo, so now the Gemara explains, when the Braisa says Nizra Rubo, that if the majority of it is planted with vegetables, let's say, that is going to be Aser, because it's not Hukaf Ladira, that Amr Avun Rebbe Yehoshua Lo Amaran Eli Yoser Mi Beis Asayim, Al Beis Asayim Mutter. That part of the Braisa is only if what's the area that's planted is more than Beis Asayim. But if the area that's planted within that Karpev, just the planted area alone, is less than Beis Asayim, meaning is Beis Asayim or less, then you're allowed to be metaltel in the entire Karpev. Because even though the area that's planted is something that's not usable for Dira, whenever it's less than Beis Asayim, even though it's not usable for a Dira, you're allowed to be metaltel in it. So you now have two locations that are included within your Mechitzos. You have the area that's planted, that's called the Gina, and that's a place that's not Roi Ladira, but you're allowed to be metaltel in it because it's less than Beis Asayim. And then you have the area that's not planted, and that's just a regular Chatzar, which is Asui Ladira, so you're allowed to be metaltel in it. So even though these two places are parrots one to the other, since they're both places independently, that is Mutter to be metaltel, so therefore you're allowed to be metaltel in the entire area. So says Gemara Keman, when Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua says that, which Shita in Tanayim is he holding like? Meaning he's assuming that even though that part of the area is planted, and the part that's not planted are parrots one to the other, they're open up into each other, they don't answer each other betiltel. So whose Shita is he following when he makes that assumption, when these two different areas, that Ein HaChinami, each independently would be Mutter to be metaltel in, but that you're allowed to be metaltel from one to the other? Rabbi Shimon, that it must be following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon knows that when you have a Karpef and a Chatzar, even if they belong to separate people, they don't aser on each other. It's not, because we have a Mishnah that we're going to see much later in the Masechta Daf Pei Tes, that Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagos, Ve'echad Chatzeros, Ve'echad Karpifos, Rushus Achas, L'Kelim Shafsu B'tochen, that Gagos, Chatzeros, and Karpifos are all considered a single Rushus for Kelim that were in the Chatzar, meaning you're allowed to take them from that Chatzar to another Chatzar, or to a Gag, or to another Karpif, even though they belong to different people. But V'lo L'Kelim Shafsu B'sachabayis, but it does not work for Kelim that started off inside of a house, because even though you're allowed to take them from the house to the Chatzar that belongs to that house, but since they started Shabbos in the house, you're not allowed to bring them to another Gag or a Karpif or somewhere else, even if the Gag or the Karpif belongs to that same Balabayis, because the Bayis and the Karpif are two separate Rishuyos. But you see, there Rabbi Shimon holds outdoor kind of areas that are owned by an individual, like a chatzar, like a karpef, even if they're owned by separate individuals, you're allowed to be metaltel from one to the other. So that must be what Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua is following when he says that if you have this large enclosed area, some of it is a chatzar and some of it is a gina, that you're allowed, but the part that's a gina is pachos mi beis asayim, you're allowed to be metaltel from one to the other, because since you can be metaltel in each part independently, you can be metaltel from one to the other as well. So says Gemara to Rabbi Shimon Nami, but wait, even according to Rabbi Shimon, we should also be metaltel in a karpef that's mostly planted, even if the area that's planted is less than Beis Asayim, because Kivan de Nizra Rubo, Havi Humiuta, since most of it is Nizra, so the part that's not Nizra is Batalei L'Gabe Ruba. The part that's just a regular Chatzah, it's not planted, should be Batal to the Rov of the Karpef that is planted, and therefore we should view this Karpef as if the entirety of it is planted. And now it's a Karpef that's Yosim Beis Asayim that's not Ladira, because we view the whole thing as if it's Nizra, and when it's planted with vegetation, it's not called Ladira, so the whole thing should still be Aser. So that doesn't work. Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua cannot be following Rabbi Shimon, because it wouldn't work. It should be Aser. Eliyin Mar Hachiyit Mar. Now, if we want to learn Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua's comment, we have to learn it in the following context. When the Braisa says Nizra Rubo, that if the Karpef is mostly planted, it's Aser to be metaltel in it, we could be Medayek that yes, only if it's Nizra Rubo, and we're going to make a Diuk, and Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua's comment is going going on the diuk. The diuk is hamiut ashari, that if less than rov of it is planted, then it's going to be mutter to be metaltel in that karpev. So Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Rav Yeshua, that's where Rav Huna b'Rav Rav Yeshua says that which you say that you're allowed to be metaltel when it's nizra miuto, that alo amara el delavi beis asayim. That's only when the place that's planted is less than beis asayim. That's not considered something that could be split from the chatzar and can be considered an independent location. So it's batel to the rest of the chatzar. Avol beis asayim. But if the part that's planted, even though it's a miut, even though it's a minority of the enclosed area, but if it's a beis asayim of area that's planted, then also, then you're not allowed to be metaltel, even in the part that's not planted. Because since the part that's planted and the part that's not planted are considered two separate chashuva locations, the part that's planted is considered a karpef, the part that's not planted is considered a chatzar, you're not allowed to be metaltel from one to the other. So the part that's not planted is parutz b'miluo, is totally opened up to something that's aser lo, to the area that's aser. And therefore it's aser to be metaltel even in the chatzar portion of it. So Keman, and who is he assuming like? Who is Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua assuming like if that was his comment? Kerabanan. He's assuming like the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Shimon and hold that Gagos, Chatzeros, and Karpifos are each considered an independent Rishus, and even though there are no people living in each of these areas that asr on each other, you're not allowed to be metaltal from one to the other. So that's why Rav Huna says that since the part that's planted and the part that's not planted are paruts one to the other, they asr on each other, and you're not allowed to be metaltal in the entire area. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti Masnil Kulu. Then the Gemara says there's a third version of what Rav Huna b'Rav Rav Yeshua said, and this is a more lenient version from the one that we previously quoted. Because maybe he said as follows, that we can learn from our Mishnah that only if it's Nizra Rubo, it's Aser. Again, the Diuk, Hamiuta Shari, that if only a smaller portion of it, less than a minority of it, was planted, then it's going to be mutter to be metaltel in all of it. And that's where Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua lo amaran elo beis asayim. We only say nizra miuto is mutter to be metaltel when the part that's planted is a beis asayim or less. And even though it's considered an independent location, since if it were mukaf mechitzos, it would be mutter to be metaltel from the part that's not planted into it, so too now that they're parts one to the other, they're not going to aser on each other. Aval yosrim beis asayim, but if the part that's planted is larger than a beis asayim, which has a din of a karmelis, and even if it were mukaf mechitzos, it would be usur to carry anything in the part that's not planted because it's not hukaf ladira. So now that it's not mukaf mechitzos with its own independent mechitzos, it's just enclosed together with the chatzar and these other mechitzos, but it's parutz to the area that's a chatzar, usur, it's usur to be metaltel in the entire karpef, even in the part that's not planted, because it's parutz b'miluo to makoma asalo, to something that's asa to it. And keman k'Rabbi Shimon, and he's assuming then, like Rabbi Shimon, that you're allowed to be metaltel from a chatzar to a karpef that is base asayim or less. So that is the third version of the comment of Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua. So now the Gemara moves on to another karpef-related topic. So we said that we had said in the Braisa that if instead of planting vegetation, you plant trees in a karpef, that's still hukaf ladira. That could be called that it's for the sake of dira. So says Gemara, maybe there's a limitation on that. Maybe not all trees are considered ladira. This is very nogea lemaisa, because a lot of times within a city, you have an area that's a karpef. You have a city eruv, and then you have an area that's base asayim. Base asayim is not that big. 50 amos by 100 amos, what are we talking? Somewhere between 75 and 100 feet by 150 and 200 feet, right? This discussion. A baseball field, like a park or something like that, is not a karpef, because that's hukaf ladira. That we assume is part of dira is when a playground or something like that, because we use that. We use such areas, but sometimes you just have like these wooded areas within a community. You have like these foresty areas within a community, and they're not so pleasant to use those areas, and people don't go in those areas. It just happened to be that there are these wooded areas within a community. So when do we say, it's trees. Don't worry about trees. Trees are fine. So says the Gemara, not a ruba v'areu k'chatzer mutter. That if it's not a ruba, the majority of the carpet, if it's planted in the trees, that's like a chatzer, that's mutter. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Imi, v'hu sha'asuyin its tablaos. That's only if the trees are planted nicely. They're arranged in order, in lines. So then it's a usable area. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav v'she'inasuyin its tablaos. Rav Nachman says even if it's more like a forest, the trees are just randomly all over the place. So Mar Yehuda ikla lebei Rav Huna Bar Yehuda chazinu lahanu delo avidi tablos, and he saw certain trees in a carpet that was larger than a base of sayim that were not planted in rows. The kametatli begavayu, and still people were carrying in that area. So Mar Yehuda asked Rav Huna Bar Yehuda lo sover lamar lahada avimi. Don't you hold about what Avimi said that when the trees are not arranged nicely, it's also to be metaltel in that area? So Rav Nachman really says, I hold like Rav Nachman, who says that even if the trees are more random, it's still mutter to be metaltel in that area. So now the Gemara is going to discuss, okay, let's say you had a karpif that was not hukaf ledira, but you want to rebuild it in a way that is hukaf ledira. So what do you have to do in order to make the walls again, to redo the walls, this time with the intent that they will be l'shem dira? So I'm Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, karpif yosem beis asayim shelo hukaf ledira. You have an area that's a karpif that's larger than beis asayim and it was not made for the sake of dira, so it's going to be probably not going to be allowed to carry there. So ketzad huos, what can you do in order to rebuild the fences l'shem dira so that now you'll be allowed to carry that? You can't just change your mind and say, now I'm using it l'dira. You have to do so. It has to be hukaf l'dira. The fences around it have to be built l'shem dira. So how do you do that? So parit, you don't want to take down the entire fence all around the whole community. So what do you, all around the entire area. So what do you do? Parit bo pirtza yosem me'aser. Make a pirtza in the fence that's larger than 10 amos. V'godro, and then rebuild that pirtza mamido aleser, and then leave the opening as 10 amos or less, which is just a pesach. So ruin the fence. How do you ruin it? By making an opening of more than 10 amos, and then rebuild it where you leave the opening as a regular pesach of 10 amos or less, umutra, and then you're going to be allowed to be metalt on that karpif, because now you've rebuilt it l'shem dira. So you buy the Gemara says, okay, but paratzam of gadra, paratzam of gadra, achashim liyosem yasem mahu. What if you don't take down more than 10 amos of the fence at one time? You take down an amma, you rebuild that amma, you took down another amma, you rebuild, until you've taken down in total, by doing piece by piece, in total you've taken down more than 10 amos. It just wasn't all at the same time. So is that going to work? Wait, we have a raya to that from a Mishnah in the 17th parak of Maseches Kelim. What does a Mishnah in Kelim have to do with walls around a karpev? The Mishnah talks about kol kli balei batim, any kli that belongs to balei batim, to regular people, not to a socher, not to someone who uses the kli for selling, where he's going to be much more makbid, or people are going to be much more makbid on kelim, right? That's always the case, that if you have something that belongs to you already, that's around your house, you'll continue to use it, and you'll continue to think it's great and working and wonderful, long after it's somewhat ruined. You would never buy an item like that in a store, right? If it didn't already belong to you, you would never buy an item. It's damaged. Why would you ever buy something like that? But if it's yours, it's a psychological thing. If it's yours already, so there's a bias. So the halacha recognized that bias. So if you have a hole in a kli, so obviously if you're running a store, you'd get rid of it. You can't sell a kli with a hole in it. But if it's a kli balabatim, you own it. So then shiran karimonim, the shear of a hole that will allow it to still be considered a kli that's mekabel tumah is if the hole is up until the size of a rimon, up until the size of a pomegranate. Tafyomi, coincidence, heading to Rosh Hashanah, maybe, okay, a rimon. So up until the size of a pomegranate. Uboy chiskia, nikov kemotzi zayis ustamo, v'chazim nikov kemotzi zayis ustamo, achash lima lemotzi rimon mahu. What if it keeps getting holes that are the size of motzi zayis, which are much smaller, but you keep plugging the holes, and by the time you plug so many holes, if you would put all the holes that you plug together, it would be more than the size of rimon. But never at any one point was there a hole in the kli the size size of Rimon. Do we say that now it lost its tumah status from previously and it's a brand new kli? So Rabbi Shanisalon, Rabbi Yochanan said to Chizkiah, Rabbi, you taught the Mishnah Maseches Kelim that tells us a similar case. A sandal, you have a sandal that's tummy tumas medrus. Shenifsuka achas me oznav, that one of the ears of the sandal, the place where you stick the straps through, is snapped. Vitikna, and then you are masakin it. Tummy midras, one loop being broken does not change the shoe. It's still tummy midras. Nifsuka shniya vitikna, but if the second one then broken, you repaired it. Tarmina medrus. We assume it became tar because once both straps are broken, once both loops are broken, it's not a usable kli, it's not a usable shoe, so it loses its old tumah status. So aval tame magam medrus, but it's tame as something that had touched the medrus. So va'amrit Allah. So you said about that. Well, wait a second. Maishna rishona dakei mashniya. Why is it that when the first loop broke, we said it's still a kli, it's still tame medrus because the second loop is still there? Well, guess what? By the time the second one broke, you had already repaired the first one. So shniya nami okay marishona. So when the second one broke, why all of a sudden do we say that it's tar? The first loop is still there when the second one broke. So va'amrit Allah. So you explained to us, Panam Chadashas Ba'olakan, that since in total one thing broke after the other, so if you add them all together, it's a brand new kli, it's a brand new shoe. So Hachanami, so over here also, by a kli that has a Zayas size hole, and you fix it, another Zayas size hole, and you fix it, until you get to the point where if you were to add all the holes together, it would have been Kemotzi Rimon. We say this isn't the same old kli. Piece by piece, you've entirely repaired this kli, and it's a brand new kli. So kari alei. So he says, oh, about that, less din bar inish. This is not a human being. This is a malach, a person who knows how to make such a tushtel, how to compare one area of halacha to the other to come to such a halachic conclusion. So yikada amri kigon dein bar nash, that he was mishabeach by saying this is a person, meaning instead of saying he's not a person, that he's superhuman, he's saying, no, this is an Adam Gadol. This is the potential of man, of what man can become. Either way, it's a compliment. So Rav Nachman is now poshet the shaila that we started with. Right? What did we say? That he had an area that was not hukaf ladira, it was hukaf, but not ladira. And now you want to make the fence l'shem dira. So you need to knock down more than 10 amos of it and then rebuild it. So we asked, what if you knock down one amma, rebuild, till you get to the point that in total it's more than 10 amos? So you see that that's that you built a new fence, just like it's by a kli, it's panam chadash ba'olakan, and just like by the shoe, it's panam chadash ba'olakan, even though it came in pieces. Over here also, we say panam chadash ba'olakan, and it's as if the entire area is hukaf ladira. So Amar Rav Kahana, rechava she'achorei abatim, the area behind houses. So they didn't use the area behind their houses the way we use our backyards. They didn't have a door that opened up typically from their houses to the yards. The area that they would use was in front of their houses. That's what's called the chatzer. But the area behind their houses, that was only for like long-term storage. They didn't really use it on a daily basis. So you have a rechava she'achorei habatim, and let's say it's a large area behind the house. It's more than beis hasayim. Say in metaltim bo el ba'arba amos. It's a carpet of yosim beis hasayim. That's not ukaf ladira. You're not allowed to be metaltim in it, only up until dalan amos. Omer of Nachman and pasuk lo pesach mutal taltal b'kulo. But if you open up a doorway from your house to that area, then you're allowed to be metaltal in the entire area, because Pesach Matiro, since the house opens up into the Rechava, it must be that you're now using the Rechava L'Shem Dira. So now you're allowed to carry in it. But that only works if after you open the door from your house into it, you then build the fence around the Rechava. Because remember, it's not just that it's used L'Dira, it has to be hukaf ladira, that the fence you built around it is l'shem dira. So you have to first open up the doorway to your house, that declares you want to use it ladira, and then be makif it, and then surround it with a fence. Aval hukaf l'b'sof pasach, but if it was already surrounded by a fence, then you just open up the door to your house, you open up a door from your house toward that area, lo, then it's not going to be matir you to carry in that area behind the house. So says the Gemara, well, wait a second, if it's pasach l'b'sof hukaf, if you open up the door from your house to that area and then you put a fence around a pshita, isn't that obvious that that's called hukaf l'dira and that's going to be mutter? Because you made the hekaf of mechitzos l'shem dira. So of course that's going to be mutter. Why would Rav Nachman have to tell me such a halacha? So answers the Gemara, lo tzricha. Rav Nachman only needed to tell me the following halacha. Di ispe beidari, that before you were makif, that rechava, before you put a fence around that backyard, there was already a goren, there was already a threshing floor. So mal detema adaita de beidari avde. I might have thought that when the you open up a door from your house to that area, it's litzorech the goren, and it's not to make a hekif for the rechava. And the hekif we say is as if there's no pesach there because they're disassociated with each other. So kamash milan, that's where Rav Nachman tells us that we don't say that. That since there was a pesach there, we consider any subsequent wall you build around the backyard as hukaf l'dira, even though the pesach didn't have to be explained as part of a dira. The pesach could have just been explained as part of the goren, which is not dira. But since there's an entranceway from the house to that area, and then you were makif it, we consider that to be hukaf l'dira. So now the Gemara discusses, what about water in a karpef? Does water ruin a karpef? Is that considered something that's not ro'oi l'dira? So the Gemara had said in yesterday's daf that we said today that if a karpef is hukaf, we started today's shir with a karpef is hukaf l'dira, and then you plant in it, the plantings are mevatel the diurim, because it's not the derech of people to live in an area that's nizra, an area that's planted. But if you plant trees, we said, then the netios are not mevatel the diurim, because people like to hang out in the shade of trees. So we had those two extremes, planting vegetation and planting trees. Vegetation ruins dira, trees do not ruin dira. What about water? Does water ruin dira? So karpef yosim beis saim shukaf l'dira. If you have a karpef that's larger than beis saim, that was hukaf l'dira, the fences around it were built l'shem dira, v'nismale mayim, and then it got filled with water. So savra rabbanu lemeimer, k'zra'im damu, the rabbanu wanted to say, that's like zra'im, that takes away the dira status of it faster, and therefore you're not allowed to be metaltel in such a karpef. So amalu rab abba achua derav berei derav misharshia, so rab abba, the brother of rav, the son of rav misharshia, said, hach yamrin mishmei derava, we have a tradition in the name of rava, that mayim k'netayim damu, Mayim is like trees, and it's not mevatel the diurim. The Rabbeinu Chanan writes that just like netios are not mevatel the diurim because it's the derech bnei adam l'stofif b'tzel ilanos. People enjoy the shade of a tree. So too, people make waterways in their chatzeros. They like to have fountains or whatever, these kinds of things in their chatzeros. So it's not mevatel the diurei achatzer. It's considered to be part of the dira, and therefore v'shari, and therefore you're going to be allowed to be metaltel in such a karpif. So Amar Amemar, Amemar comments on this statement of Rava, that we treat Mayim like Netayim, like it's trees, that's not Mevatel the Diura, that's only Dechazin the Tashmishta, where that water is usable. Avlo Chazin the Tashmishta lo, but if that water is not usable, then it's not going to be, then it's not considered Hukaf, then it's not considered a Dira. What does it mean, usable? So Rashi writes that that the Mayim is Dechazin the Tashmishta, the top Rashi, L'shtia, Dein Lecha Dira Mul Mizu. What could be more Dira-like than that which you get your drinking water from? So if the water is clean water and you use that for drinking water, that's for sure going to be okay. The Rashba, however, says, Yira Eli, says the Rashba, it doesn't have to be drinking water as long as it's right for other things. You could use it to launder clothing. That's also a dira type of usage. Even though you don't launder clothing on Shabbos, it's not about whether you use it on Shabbos. It's about whether it's dira. So that's also called part of a dira. The Rush points out there's either way, there's a bit of a Chiddush over here. Normally, we would think of an area that uses dira as an area where you actually use that area. We're actually going to use the space. So the Rush points out over here, you're not using the space that the water is taking up. You're using the water that's in it. You're drawing the water from it and drinking it, or using the water from it to do the laundry, to do the wash. But you're not actually using that space, and it's still called for the sake of dira because you need some. The water has to be somewhere, and you're going to need to use that water. So that's still called dira, even though the space that that the water is taking up is actually not your dira. So Amar Ravashi, the Chazan Tashmish to Naimin Amran, and even when it's ra'oi to drink, let's say, according to Rashi, or to do laundry, according to the Rashba, it's only Ella She'ein Ba'omko Yosir Mi Beis Hasayim. That's only if the area that's at least 10 Tvachim deep is less than Beis Hasayim. Avlim Yesh Ba'omko Yosir Beis Hasayim, Asir. But if the area that's 10 Tvachim deep is larger than 50 Amos by 100 Amos, even though it's usable water, it's still going to be Asir. It's like a carpet that's not Hukaf Ladira, has a din of a Carmelis. And therefore, you're not allowed to be metaltal even in the area that doesn't have water, because it's Paratz B'miluo to Makama Asilo. It's totally opened up into this area that's Yosrim Beis Asayim that you're not allowed to be metaltal in. Tosos points out in Dibra Maskel Lo that this din is assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, that only if there's Yosrim Beis Asayim of Zra'im does it Asir the Tiltal in the entire Karpev. So here also, when the Makam of the Mayim that's 10 Tfachim deep is more than Beis Asayim, so that asers the entire Karpev. But according to the Chamim, even if it's less than Beis Asayim, it's going to aser the entire Karpev, because anytime a Karpev is Hukaf Ladira, has a din of a Chatzar, and the Makam of the Mayim is called a Karpev, and the Chacham Shita is, you're not allowed to be Metaltel from a Chatzar to a Karpev. Only Rabbi Shimon holds you can be Metaltel from a Chatzar to a Karpev. It's just that when it's Yosrim Beis Asayim, even that becomes aser. That's the Ha'ara, one of the Ha'aros at least, that Tosus makes. Now the Gemara rejects Ravashi's comment. Again, the Ravashi said that if you have an area that's Yosim Beis Asayim of water that's more than 10 Tfachim deep, then all bets are off, the whole thing's going to be Asir. So says Mar Velav Milsihi. Ravashi said is incorrect. Even if the water is 10 Tfachim deep in an area that's larger than Beis Asayim, you're allowed to be metalt on the Karpev. Mididava, Karya, the Peri, just like a Kri of Peros that's 10 Tfachim high, that even though it's as wide of as a base court, it's a giant area, it's not Mevatel, the Urim in the Karpev, because it's considered to be the peros are there litzorech ledira, that as long as it's part of what you use as your normal living area, as you know, for living needs, so then it's considered a hukaf ledira. So I don't care that it's more than beis asayim. If you use the water, the fact that it's more than beis asayim doesn't bother me at all. If you're using the water, that's yes, it's larger than beis asayim, but it's hukaf ledira when it's larger than beis asayim. So this issue of karpefos is a very fascinating issue, and it's very nogeya in our community, Erevin. A karpef, if you have a karpef that's not hukaf ladira within an Erev, within a community Erev, not only is it us to carry in that karpef, if there's nothing separating that karpef from the rest of the community Erev, the whole thing becomes us, the entire community Erev becomes us, because it's parlots b'miluo to the area of the karpef. So that's the question. What, how do we get rid in large communities, not in cities, but in areas like this, in the suburbs, you almost always have a karpef within the community. So what do you do? So the Chazanish writes in Simon Peches, what do? You make a tzuras ha-pesach or a fence around the karpef. You have to exclude the karpef from the Erev, and that's the only way it's going to work. However, there is a shita of the Dvar Shmuel, the Bir Halacha, in Simon Shin Nun Ches, quotes a shita of the Dvar Shmuel, where the Dvar Shmuel says that if the karpef is only a small section of the city, then it's not going to be, it's not going to aser carrying within that area. And the reason is that a karpef is considered tiny compared to the rest of the city, so you're allowed to ignore it. It's like batel to the rest of the city. So there's a major discussion whether you're allowed to rely on this Dvar Shmuel. I mean, if it's a huge forested area, okay, it's a different story. But if it's an area that's a smaller part of the city, so the Chazanish said absolutely not. You need to build a Tzuras HaPesach around it. The Bir Halacha is also not so sure about it. However, the Chacham Tzvi holds that the Dvar Shmuel Shita can be followed when it's impossible to make an Erev otherwise. If that's the only way you're going to be able to make the Erev, then you're allowed to do it. In a number of communities, they do rely on this Shita of the Dvar Shmuel. There are those that distinguish between the different types of Karpefios, that if a Karpef beautifies the city, then it's not going to forbid carrying there. But if there's no human benefit to it whatsoever, then it's going to be usher to carry in it, and you're going to have to actually wall it off as the Chazanish suggested. So what do we do with like bodies of water? Meaning that's our issue over here. In our area, we have right by North Woodmere, between North Woodmere and Cedars, we have this, we're surrounded by bodies of water. So what do we do about something like that? So if it's used for boating or something, then it's not a karpef. If people actually use the area, you can take boats out in the area, then it's not a karpef, right? Because that's hukaf ladira, and that's going to be perfectly fine. Rav Moshe held that even in water that's less than 3 tefachim deep is a problem. Meaning in Medina de Gemara, less than 3 tefachim deep, nah, it's not good. People walk right through puddles that are less than 3 tefachim deep. So Rav Heidemann quotes from Moshe. I saw all this in Rabbi Jachter's new book on Erevin. So Rav Heidemann quotes from Moshe that even less than 3 tefachim deep, nowadays people don't just walk through. If you have a body of water, it's less than 3 tefachim deep, people go around it. They don't walk through it. And that would therefore be a problem of a carpet. But what if there's some aesthetic quality of the body of water? It just looks nice. You don't use it, but it looks nice. So this is a discussion. Rabbi Heinemann quotes from Ramesha that the fact that it's nice aesthetically does not help and does not take away the status of a karpef. But the Tshuva Simra Yosha, Chelik Aleph Siman Kuf Ayin, and the Naziris Shimshon disagree, and they say the aesthetic quality does help. In fact, in the Tshuva Simlamed Dahoil, he points out that a number of communities in pre-war Europe were so mech on that, that if the water looks nice in Krakow and Lomja, in other places, Cholkas Yaakov also says in Warsaw and Antwerp and Mannheim, in many, many places that were Ir Ve'im B'Yisrael, they did rely on this this Shita. The Meiri comments over here in our daf, the Meiri writes that even if it's Zarua, we said, oh, there are two things we know, that if you have Ilanos, that's okay, and if you have plants, then it's not okay. The Meiri says, if the plants are there and they make it nicer and it beautifies the area, that's also called Hukaf Ladira. Problem is, it's a Meiri, and the Meiri was not found until much later. So as the halacha was developing, no one had access to the Meiri. So that's a major discussion, contemporary poskim, how do we view the Meiri when dealing with halacha? The Chaznish thought that Hashkacha had it, that the Meiri was left out of the Mesorah. So even though he was from the Gedolei HaRishonim, he doesn't impact the halacha. Whereas others assume he was from the Gedolei HaRishonim. If we would have had the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Meiri all the time, because the Meiri should impact the halacha. So that's the issue when it comes to. There's also a discussion. What about like a golf course? We have that within our Erev as well, right? So certainly a golf course, people play on the golf course. So what's the issue? Now sometimes I have these huge sand dunes in the golf course. They're there to be a mikshol for the golfers, right? That's they make it there on purpose in order to make it a more challenging golf course. But it's not a usable area in any way. So Rabbi Heinemann thought that since the hazards are part of the game of golf, that's considered, that's how you use it. You use it as a hazard, and therefore it's perfectly fine. There is also discussion more about cemeteries. Rav Yashiv in Kovit Shuvus Chelik Aleph Siman Mem Hei is Mekel because people visit cemeteries, which makes it part of the Dira. But Rav Moshe was more Machmir about cemeteries. That's not a Dira. No one lives there. That's not that's not a place that's used the Dira. When they plant cities, they try to put as many cemeteries as they can near the airport because people don't like the noise, but the dead people don't mind the noise. I mean, that's not a place of Dira. That's not where in Passaic, for example, they keep the cemeteries out of the Erev. So Rabbi Jackson just points out an exception might be if the cemetery is like has special historic or national significance. You know, it's a Kibrit Tzadikim kind of cemetery, or it's Arlington National Cemetery, something like that. Maybe that's considered something that is Ladira. Happens for our water, we excluded it from the Erev. It used to not be. Then about 15 years ago, when they redid the whole Erev, they excluded the water from the Erev. I guess the argument was, the Dvar Shmuel, that it's only a small portion of the larger community, and the idea that it's used for fishing. Even though you don't use it for boating, people do go fishing there. And if you go fishing there, so it could be that that's called Ladira. So we happen to exclude it right now, but those are the Heterim. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayta now. Ha'ira, this is where you need the picture. Ha'ira Chava Davi Pumnahara. There was an open area in a town called Pumnahara, the Chad Gisav Psiach Lamasa. One end of it was opened up into the city, into a Mavoi, right, where there are Chatzeros and houses off of the Mavui, the Chad Gisav Pesuch L'Shvil Shel Kramim, And the other end of the Rechava opened up to a path that went right through a vineyard. And that path led right into the riverbank. So Amar Abaye Hechinav, Rabbi says, what should we do in order to make it to Mutter, to be metaltel in that Rechava, to carry in that Rechava? So four suggestions. Suggestion number one, maybe we should make a mechitza by the riverbank, and therefore the path that it will be considered an extension of the Rechava, and as if they're one area, and the mechitza that you make now on the riverbank is going to be considered as if it's part of the mechitza of the Rechava, and therefore the Rechava is now hukaf ledira. So that should be matter, meaning you want to make the Rechava ledira, but you need to be makifit ledira, you need to make a new fence around it so that it could be used ledira. It's already surrounded on three sides, so now the fourth side, the side that opens up into the shvil, you want to make a mechitza, so just build a mechitza by the riverbank. Says, well, that's not going to work, because Zainos mechitza, I'll give you mechitza. The riverbank itself is already a mechitza. Elamite's not a usable mechitza because it's not visible. So it's not usable for the rechava, so you need to make a new mechitza. But you can't build a mechitza on top of a mechitza and call that you're being makifit ledira. It was already hukaf, so you can't call that being makifit ledira. So that's an option that's not going to work. Option number two. Beloved lay, Tzuras HaPesach HaPumet Shvil Shalkramim. Make a Tzuras HaPesach where the Rechava borders the pathway through the vineyard. So says Gemara, it's a nice suggestion, but also Gamli Shadin lay. Camels are going to walk through and they're going to knock the Tzuras HaPesach right off, which is not only a practical problem, it's a halachic problem as well, because the Meiri points out that if you're going to have a Tzuras HaPesach that's going to be knocked down, then such a Tzuras HaPesach that's omei he not take is not going to work. Even if currently it is not knocked down, even if it's all made the not take, it's not going to work. The Ritva just wonders that if Gemalim are going to go drink from the riverbank, then what was the first suggestion? The first suggestion was build a wall. The Gemalim are not going to be happy about that either. So the Ritva suggests that Abaye thought that they'll make a mechitza by the Sfas Hanar, but they'll leave a little area for the Gemalim to come drink from. That was the Havamina in the first suggestion. So Elam Rabbi, a third suggestion. Lavid Lechi, Apisco de Shvil Shalkramim, make a lechi by the entranceway of the Shvil Shalkramim, meaning the area between the pathway through the vineyard and the Rechava, right by the border of the Rechava and the Shvil Shalkramim. Demigo demahani the Shvil Shalkramim, since that lechi is going to work for the Shvil Shalkramim itself, to allow you to carry the Shvil Shalkramim, mani nami the Rechava, the lechi will work also for the Rechava. And a gummel is not going to knock down a lechi is a little pole on the side, the gummel will knock down a tzuras habesach, he's not going to knock down a lechi. So Rava says, nice suggestion, but amalei Rava, im kain yom lechimo l'shvil shalkram d'alma. Problem is, what people are going to assume if you do that? People will make the assumption that other places as well that a lechi will work for a shvil shalkramim, even when that shvil shalkramim does not end by the riverbank, which is a mechitza. So it doesn't already have mechitzas. People will think a shvil shalkramim that's open on one end, you can just make a lechi on the other end. The whole thing's going to be mutter, and that's a problem. Ela amarava, a fourth and final solution. Avdinan lei lechi lepiska demasa. Make a lechi by the Pesach of the Mavoi toward the Rechava, between the Rechava and the Mavoi. Once the lechi is working for the Mavoi, the lechi will work for the Rechava as well. Hilkach, and therefore, since you make a lechi for the entranceway of the Mavoi, tutule b'masa gufa, to be metaltel in the Mavoi of the city itself, shari, that's going to be mutter, because you made a lechi for that Mavoi. Tutule b'rechava gufa, shari, to carry in the Rechava itself, is also going to be mutter, because the lechi makes the Rechava an area that's hukaf ledira now. You made it ledira. But mimasa l'rechava, if whether it's mutter to be metaltel from the mavoi to the rechava, or mirechava l'masa, that's machlokas. Pligi baravach v'ravina. Chad osar v'chad shari. Man de shari, the one that says that it's mutter, tal lakadirin, will say, well, there are no chatzeros or abatim that open up into the rechava, so since the mavoi is opened into the rechava, the entire rechava is considered an extension of the mavoi. It's all in the rishus of the bnei amavoi, and therefore they're allowed to be metaltel there. But that sometimes you'll have an area where there are diurim that will start opening up into that rechava, and people will still come to be metaltal in it. But once there are diurim associated with that rechava, then they aser on the diurim of the mavoi, because then you have two competing communities that aser on each other. So that's why we can't allow it to carry there, even if there are not yet any homes that open up into the rechava. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Karpi Vyosin Besasai.